Off the Ball Breakfast.
I'm not going to get into a... I'm not bringing it to Tommy Rooney to do a power rankings of who's a greater player, Michael Murphy or Aidan O'Shea.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Colin, good morning to you. How are you?
Hiya, sir.
Arthur, how are you?
Great.
Sorry, I've broken with the tradition of doing the fancy ridiculous intros. I did intend to, but...
You just didn't?
Well, I forgot about it until a minute ago. I remembered yesterday. I was like, oh, I must put some time into that. And then there'll be plenty of time in the morning, and then we just got carried away in our pre-show meeting.
Yeah, we did. We had a great time. You can prepare it anyway for Monday.
You just do it on ChatGPT, do you?
No. Although, at the daughter's christening there recently...
Second
daughter.
Daughter's christening recently,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Recently, like, yeah. A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was looking for readings online and couldn't find anything we liked really. So I put into ChatGPT, I described her and wrote a lovely poem.
Wow.
Yeah.
The end of the world is nigh.
It's unbelievable.
And was it sincere?
What did I do with it?
Yeah.
Read it. They read it out loud.
Who
at
did?
The christening.
Oh.
The readers. The allocated readers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's amazing, like.
It's weird.
I know.
What's weird?
It's just the AI kind of.
Oh,
is it not a bit cold?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you went with it anyway.
It's a rootless business, like, but like the sentiment, it's funny because you're asking this, it's not a sentient being really, like, but it's giving you emotion back.
Did you ask for it in the style of anyone?
Yeah, I was like, this is what I want. Can you tell me this about her?
Tommy Tiernan, Martin Amis.
Give this vibe to
Don DeLillo.
And type that in.
Give this vibe.
ChatGPT. And then your seconds later, you're like, that's good. And then you're like, yeah, make it shorter. Succinct.
Right, wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And we were looking for legitimate ones. We were like, I don't really like any of these. And it opened the world of possibilities. But I'm still like a ChatGPT skeptic, but it is useful at times.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the show today. We'll see you at some point in the future. If you want to get involved in the conversation this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. I remembered that. And you can also get us on youtube.com/offtheball. Was everybody watching Trent? I've watched 3 minutes. I watched River because I saw the jerseys. And I love the jerseys. And then I stopped watching it. And that's the sum total of stuff that I've seen so far. Now, Real Madrid did not win last night for the news that people are waking up to with bated breath. How is the World Club Cup going for Real Madrid? They did not win.
They missed a penalty in injury time.
I didn't know that.
Valverde, yeah, their captain.
It finished 1-1.
Yeah, poor strike. Alan Lala have a really good side, actually. They have Koulibaly at the back. Senegal's Koulibaly, of course. He didn't play against Ireland. He played against England. Ruben Neves is their captain, and he scored their penalty that they got. Had a few decent players and they gave Real Madrid a good game. They had a disallowed goal early on from Lodi, Renan Lodi. I think he used to play for Atletico, and Trent was at fault for that. He was only jogging back, but yeah, I was getting furious messages from our colleague Phil Egan about how terrible Trent was. I mean, he delighted in it, of course. Liverpool supporters will relish the fact that Trent isn't doing well at Real Madrid if he doesn't do well. He tried a few spray passes, didn't work out, went either too far, too short. And yeah, I think there was a certain revelry in Trent's underperformance yesterday.
There is a fever around the reporting of what might happen with Trent. That seems odd to me. There's not this like, oh, well done to this young man going off and playing for the most famous club in the world. It's like, I can't wait. There's a definite schadenfreude around, as you say, any potential for failure. And like, I don't know, the heat map on the BBC, the 2,000 words analysis of his performance. He must be great for traffic. Everybody must be very keen on it. And then afterwards, they were still talking about the, oh, look at him. Imagine him learning another language. Who does he think he is? Getting an education. What? He can speak other languages than English. What's that about? I'm suspicious.
That was so weird. That was so weird.
That was in like a school gym as well. There was like a basketball hoop and like that flooring that you'd see in all Irish school gyms growing up. So it was a very humble surroundings, but I thought the Spanish, like, It was actually remarkable. It was one of the high points of the last few weeks in the sporting world for me was not just his grasp of the language, but also the accent, the cadence. Yeah. Like, this guy sounds like he's natively Spanish.
Now, he didn't speak in Spanish at the post-match.
He just learned that bit, I think, and so like, the rest know, of it. But he made the effort.
It's actually really easy to do, you know. Oh, he needed years to pick up this four sentences that he had to remember. Might even have had, could we see, was there an autocue? I mean, I'm sure Real Madrid can afford an autocue. So anyway, but they were still slagging him off after that. John Obi Mikel was the one on DAZN who was like, well, I'd say he's been learning that for a year at least. I mean, imagine, again.
But so what if he has?
Exactly. Like, more, it's a multicultural more power game. To him. Miles Lewis-Skelly has a year left on his contract and he's going to sign a new deal. That makes no sense to me. Footballers with a year left who you know are going to make it, give yourself the option in a year. Now, it turns out fans and the toxicity of fans will make that year very difficult for you. But at the end of that year...
Sure, where? Like, he's at a pretty high point. He's only what age? Like, he's only... He's
18, not, I think.
Yeah, I'm like, where would you be risking it all?
Well, you're backing yourself.
To go where?
Wherever you want. You'll be available free. So, was it Konate that has a year left on his deal at Liverpool? I'm kind of very surprised that Liverpool have done this again, lads. But Real Madrid have just somehow put it out in the ether. A friendly journalist been like, oh, Real Madrid are interested in Konate. If you're Konate, what are you doing?
Yeah, if you're Konate, you might hold tight then and see what happens. But at 18, at Arsenal, starting.
He looks pretty good.
Yeah. Hold tight, it's like, what's the length of the deal you're going to sign? 4 or 5 years tops?
Yeah, that's a long time.
You only be 23. But, it's like it would be mad.
But Arsenal are going to retain the value of you, whereas you could get the value of you. So, all of these players are worth money on the balance sheet. Whatever, 10 million, 20 million, 100 million. You should get that money. Why did the club get the money? Oh, they took you. They plucked you from obscurity while casting aside every other child that they groomed for, money themselves and glory themselves. It's such a weird situation. The players indentured to the clubs. Hold out, Miles Lewis-Skelly, for 1 year. Back yourself. And then sign a contract worth five times that with Arsenal. You're like, okay, I want to be the best paid player. Because I've saved your transfer fee of 40 million or 100 million.
Yeah, that's a ballsy move. I don't think you're going to endear yourself to many people working that way.
No, but they like, fans need to get over themselves. Don't they?
No, that's certain. What do you mean? Like, no, they're...
What were we talking about yesterday on the show? I was like, fans are the worst. GA fans. It was the GA fans. The lads, the Galway fans wouldn't be too slow knowing, letting you know about how bad you were playing, was Johnny Cohen was saying to us yesterday. And I was like, turns out it wasn't just the fans. Do you remember that team were actually absolutely slaughtered in the Indo on the day of one of their big games by three of the legends? I was trying to find the piece yesterday. I couldn't find it. And so, but it was three of the 80s legends who absolutely accused them like of being afraid to get their fingernails broken and stuff like that. Does this ring a bell?
No, but it was
the day of an All-Ireland semi-final or a quarter-final. And I'm fairly sure they went out and played quite well, but it was before they got over the line. And so the sense was that they were shrinking violets and other such. You can fill in the rest. Let ChatGPT give you some examples of other things that toxic males might say about other males to diminish their standing in the eyes of right-minded thinking people. That Galway team were absolutely hammered and slaughtered. So that pressure that they felt. But it's the supporters, the roughest type of fucking animals, as Paddy says. Yeah, the fans are mad. Absolutely mad.
Yeah, but
Liverpool fans are mad. Get over Trent.
It doesn't happen without fans, sort of.
No, of course, but
like, it doesn't. Like, that's good of you. The whole thing is pointless.
But Miles Lewis-Skelly, hold out. Don't sign that deal. You get three times the money next year from
him. I guess it depends on who's in his life, isn't it, Miles Lewis-Skelly? Because there could be cautionary tales. Like, I mean, he's a far superior fullback than Brandon Williams ever was. But Brandon Williams can't get back into the game now because he was. Kind of a bright spark for United a few years ago. Then he got into trouble and now nobody wants him. And as I said, Miles Lewis-Skelly, much better player. But
I'm unfamiliar with the trouble. What kind of trouble is it? Legal trouble or injury
trouble? Yeah, it was driving related illegally. And it was the sentencing recently. I have to get that right before I say it. But anyway, he's out of the game at the moment. And I guess maybe it's like a cautionary tale. Like he's started his career very well. He's already England international. I think he played there in the break.
Yeah.
So like his stock is high. So maybe they're like, look, sign a new contract now. You'll still get sweet money. And you can also leave whenever you want.
Look, it will of course be sweet money. He's going to be one of the highest paid young players in the world. But like, yeah, you know, I'd be looking at like what the PSG players are getting and saying, well, I want some, you know. I realise that arguing for multimillionaires to be even richer is an unusual, sticky enough wicket to be defending. But I do think that the clubs are absolutely coining it. Apart from Man United, who are about to go bust, of course, if you believe what their owner said. But everybody else seems to be doing all right when it comes to raising revenue. And the share of that sometimes is not as high back to the players as it should be.
Mm.
That's what I thought.
We got a WhatsApp in yesterday on 0879 180 180, and it was the theme of we've been asking people, mostly rugby related, to do at Leinster about colour coordinate their season, you know, performance rank Leinster as a whole. And we got a question yesterday to do the same for Liverpool for the season just gone.
For Liverpool?
Yeah, because they didn't win in Europe.
It's a false equivalent, isn't it? It's a nonsense. I saw that question, I didn't even put it through.
Yeah, I was wondering your...
Look at that.
Yeah, it was your production like, production.
You're nobody
there.
Without the fans, except don't text us shit.
I read it afterwards. So, oh, that was never sent through, yeah.
Yeah.
By choice.
No, it doesn't make sense. It's too contrived. You can't equate the URC with the Premier League.
They said it. Clip that.
I think the URC has vastly improved because of the South African teams.
Like, sure,
they really care about it. There's like massive crowds going to those games in South Africa.
But I guess the best teams in the Champions Cup aren't in it, so it's like that's
no, exactly. But and there's only four or five teams in the Champions Cup who are better than those South African teams, and even then it's close enough. So it will be great when the South African teams take Europe seriously, like when they,
what an odd phrase,
when they go full bore. But you got to remember the league is basically 3 years old. Like there's only been these South African teams in it for that length of time.
Yeah.
You know, the Premier League in its third season, I can't remember, but I'm sure that there were loads of teams who were not very good, who were making a run for the title, and the teams at the bottom are terrible. So in 20 years' time, if this league is still going, it probably will be one of the best leagues.
It's been to the best. URC's ultimate benefit that the South African teams are taking it so seriously. And they made up the large portion of like, the top five teams that finished in the league standings this season just gone. The Champions Cup will just take a bit more time. Like they're always on the road, basically. It's a travel inconvenience. You know, if Jim McGuinness was there now, he'd be livid because they're constantly travelling.
We didn't talk about McGuinness and his outburst that went viral about...
We did on...
We alluded to it.
Do you know what was mad, right? On Monday morning just gone, like it was crazy weekend of sport, particularly at a time when there seems to be never-ending amount of sport on. And I couldn't believe that they led with that in the back page of the Irish Independent on Monday morning was Jim McGuinness's outburst about where the game was played. It was like of all the options that they had of everything that happened that weekend, that's what they went with. Even at the time when it was like a live story, I was still surprised by it. And then I was like, sure, it's not even going to affect them for the rest of the year. And it's just amazing the reaction to it, because I thought it was quite transparent what he was doing. For me, he wasn't annoyed about that actual fact itself. It's just facts against the wall. I have to get my players going again because I'm not happy what I just saw.
So that's the fundamental, isn't it? Like, why was he not happy with what he has seen since their... Because they looked really ready to catapult and explode into this part of the season. And now, we're going to talk to Morris about this a little bit later on, how difficult will it be for teams to win from the preliminary quarter final stage, which again, if they had just marketed this properly, wildcard weekend or something.
They need to change the name of that.
Preliminary quarter final
is like a default game. It's like a draft article that you haven't published yet.
Exactly.
Preliminary quarter final.
This does not matter, even though it's straight knockout. It's like, it's the sexy football weekend or something that you've been thinking about.
I think we brought that up with Maris the second last time he was on about that name as well. And, you know, Maris loves this type of stuff too about it. That whole, would you call it marketing or the promotion of the game, generally speaking, outside of weekends? And there's so much room for improvement in that regard. Like this could absolutely take over the sporting landscape in the country.
This
weekend. It's already huge. Yeah. This weekend is stacked like this. I was saying to you, there are pre-shows, like considering going to the Dublin Cork game, But that would actually, it wouldn't benefit me because I'd miss so many games and I'd only see one game. That's very likely to end only one way. But you're almost punished for going to the games, to going to a game, because you're not going to see anything else. I'll miss Galway Tip, like.
So it's Cork Dublin.
Cork Dublin's at it's quarter past or half past six, throwing a Croke Park. That's a double header. So before that's Dublin Limerick.
At least this time on your long, slow walk home after humiliation by a team in blue of your beloved team in red, the weather will be a bit better than when.
Are you sure of that?
When
sure
Munster, about that? Yeah, the forecast's good for Saturday, isn't it?
Sure about that.
When Munster got hammered by Leinster that time at Croke Park.
Was that one of the biggest achievements last season for Leinster?
It was certainly smashing your local rivals and sending them home to think again. Yes, that's always very enjoyable.
Yeah.
And did you recover?
Playing on amateur mode in FIFA.
Did the season recover?
World class team. Yeah. So that was really big of you to celebrate that win.
Oh, look.
So hugely.
I said Leinster fans still celebrate
it. What colour is Leinster season for you?
Oh, it's green. Yeah. You win the...
How much more green could you have got if you won the Champions Cup?
Greener. Yeah. 40 shades of green.
We don't have two greens.
I mean, I think that there's a nuance required. Leinster, best team in Europe, you know?
Very generous with your praise, yeah. Do you know what I have the logical soft spot for is when the fixture list is announced to the Premier League. I just love seeing who's playing who in the first day of the season. I don't know why. Arsenal have a ridiculously tough start to the season. Do you know this?
Go on.
Their first game is away to Manchester United at Old Trafford. It's the first day of the season, right?
Ridiculously tough.
Second game at home to Leeds. Okay.
Win.
3-6 points.
Next game away to Liverpool.
Yeah, that might be tough. They'll have that 6-point buffer.
Nottingham Forest at home. If they play like they did for large parts of last season, that's
we
tough.
We shall see, yeah.
Manchester City at home. Newcastle United away.
That is tough. I do wonder about what form Man City are going to be in after the exhaustion of this. They were 2-0 winners last night. I'm sure everybody with bated breath, desperate to find out how the World Club Cup went against some team. Phil Foden scored. Rico Lewis got sent off. Phil Foden says he's back in Hungary. So look, maybe Phil Foden is actually going to be back to Phil Foden's standards.
They had a good few of their new players playing as well. New jersey, new everything. It's a different looking city.
They've spent like 400 million retooling. People keep saying, oh, it looks like they know that they're about to be slapped with a transfer ban. And that would make sense. But it's also just what Man City do.
Yeah, I also would see it the other way, that they found out that it'd be grand. So it's just business as usual. They might get a fine or something.
Yeah.
And when, you know, when PSG do it, it's romantic, so.
Well, PSG at least were, you know, signing players who were fitting his style. This seems kind of, maybe there is a very specific type of player that they've been signing, but they've just been signing everybody. Man City, no?
Yeah, Tijani Reinders and Ryan Cherki played last night. They started their new signings. And the boy from Bournemouth started for Real Madrid as well. Dean Housen. Another young fella, centre back.
Yeah, 20 year old.
Looks like a teenager himself. Yeah, yeah, he played last night. I love that. I don't know why. I've never grown out of that part of my football love, is seeing a new player the first day of the season, first time wearing a new kit. I don't know why.
Did you have the little cardboard folders where you'd move the teams up and down?
No, but I had Premier League stickers, or Premiership stickers as they would have been called. If you had a shiny, in a pack, you were God for a day.
Yeah. They were Panini and... Panini ones.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, 7:48. Off the Ball Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Philippa Contepomi is going to join us a little bit later on in the show. This interview was recorded last week, the end of last week?
Yeah. Yeah, but middle of last week. So this is obviously in advance of the game tomorrow night, Lions' first game under Andy Farrell against Felipe's Argentina. So we talked about that. And but here in this clip, we talk about Leinster and the standards that they set and what they should be winning. I want to ask you about your old team. We had Victor Matfield on the show on Off the Ball Breakfast.
Is there a sense that there's a mental frailty amongst Irish rugby teams?
There must be, especially with the Leinster team.
In your opinion, Felipe, what is actually missing with this Leinster team under Leo Cullen? Why aren't they winning trophies?
It's tough to say that, you know, because if first of all, if I had the answer, I would go straight to Leo and I would say to him, not to you, but I don't have that answer. And I think it's very easy. For me, it's more interesting and more important teams that maybe even they don't win it, but they come back and they always come back. What would we have had from Leo Messi if he wouldn't have come back and come back and come back and he would have given up because he didn't win the World Cup. He won it at 30 something years old in Qatar.
Yeah.
3 years ago. And now he's the greatest ever. I think Leinster are controlling what they can control in a very good way because they are there every year, every after year. How many teams would love to be there? It's just a matter of time. Like, I don't know what he's missing exactly, but for me, I disagree with Victor Matfield, for example. I disagree.
Yeah. Felipe is an absolute Leinster legend. Very important in changing the culture. We can talk to him. We can talk to Cheka about him a little bit later on.
Definitely.
Cheka's going to join us in studio if you missed the start of the show just after 8 o'clock this morning. Will I do newspaper headlines very quickly? The Mudrick thing has been going on for about 2 years, hasn't it? Didn't he fail his test months ago, and then they didn't play him, and then he was still around to get... Anyway, he's facing a 4-year FA doping ban. Mm-hmm. The wheels of justice, they do move slow when it comes to the old doping. 9 English Lions playing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Pick all the Irish. They're not available because a lot of the Leinster lads aren't available. Tyke Furlong is available though. That was a very quick recovery from his... What?
Probably be saving him.
Well, he didn't play for Leinster last week.
No, I know, yeah. But like, you wouldn't bother putting him out this week when you have... You don't want to keep him for the tests.
Well, they are picking him. They picked him.
He's played so few games.
Yeah. But it's just, it was interesting.
He came on in Paddy's Day for Ireland and he's played like a handful of games for Leinster.
Oh, sorry, I'm completely wrong. He's on the bench. Yeah. Finlay Beelan went from not being in the squad to starting the first game. Apparently, the tradition is that 5 of the players who play in this non-cap, non-test match end up getting.
So this one doesn't count, does it?
Doesn't, it's not a real.
You can get to call yourself a line, but not a cap line.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Mudrick charged over doping. That Mudrick signing. God, Arsenal really dodged a bullet there, didn't they? Would you have gone into the Arsenal system, played in the team, and responded to Arteta, you know, and his...
He's hired Pogba's people.
To get him off.
His legal people, yeah.
Well, they
Pogba got reduced down to 18 months, I think.
Good job for Pogba, and he's now going to join Monaco, it looks like. Kicked in the teeth, money over loyalty. What is this a story about? Who do you think this is a story about? What is the back page lead? You know, the World Club Cup is on the back page lead, and the Star and the Mirror and the Sun, and it's all exact same kicked headlines. Kicked in the teeth. Fan group fury at latest hike in ticket prices.
Oh, yeah.
Who sells the papers, Arthur?
Man United.
Money over loyalty, and the E in money is a pound sign.
Do you see that was actually... Should have been a euro. Do you see it? There was... there was numbers. The numbers were down on the Premier League viewing figures. I don't know, was it just exclusively Sky, TNT, whatever it was, but they were down generally
the last few months,
except
season,
for Man United. United, I'm pretty sure, were up. A lot of hate watching.
It's like Arsenal Fan TV or AFTV. Do you know, when they got their act together under Arteta, I'd say the viewership went down. Like, I wasn't looking, but it spikes when they lose. It's the same for United. Like, United doing well, people are a bit disappointed.
They'll always watch Man United. It's incredible the way that they are always...
They actually just win. They win so few games comfortably that it's really... It's not, you don't even have to worry about it for your algorithm. They do it like twice a season where they win 2-0. Everything else is chaotic.
It is one of the most crazy stories in... Like, it's like the Knicks, except if the Knicks had ever been successful. It's a little bit like the shit show that the Patriots have, except no one really cares about the Patriots outside of...
More Yankees.
New England era. The Cowboys. It's actually...
Exception last year. It's Cowboys. That's perfect. Yeah,
relatively close
that's
to the Cowboys,
yeah.
Where America's team...
It's a great show.
The richest, most self-aggrandizing franchise. But because of the draft, there's always a throughput of great players coming through. And it's quite easy to turn around to make a football franchise. But I don't know. I mean, the news that Liverpool are... trying to sign Isak and are prepared to spend to get him. I mean, there is a possibility that Liverpool are about to kick into some kind of overdrive here. There's also a possibility that Wirtz finds the transfer fee and the jersey too heavy and that's not successful. But their track record of implicating high-cost players is relatively good. You'd say the money they spent on Diaz, they'd be glad if they got that back, and certainly Darwin Nunez has not been a success. But they managed to camouflage that.
There's been a few mistakes. Keita was a mistake. He wasn't great for the money. I think he cost
40 million.
Oh, I think it was. Was it only 40? Okay, sorry. I thought it was a bit more than that. But anyway, but yeah. No, it's interesting though, because it's. I know there's all the way these things are all amortized and whatever else, but it's an awful lot of money if they were to go and buy Isak as well. I mean, Newcastle don't have to sell.
No, they don't.
You know what I mean?
So the price would have to be huge.
Because they're in the Champions League. Like, it's. I mean, it would be. Who knows what thing, but you're not getting much change from 100 million, realistically. I mean.
Oh, I think it could be even
more. So,
well, like, once you reached the 100 million figure on. Well, this guy is guaranteed to be successful for you. So, sorry, 65 million euros it was for Naby Keita.
Now, these are kind of, I think they're fairly sure things they're kind of betting on. I don't think Wirtz is that risky for the money they're paying. It's not like Man United when they bought Pogba. There's no kind of shadow over him at all. And same, Isak, like injuries notwithstanding or whatever.
Like, if Wirtz plays it any way more at all than Federico Chiesa did, then it's a good upgrade straight away. Like Chiesa was their backup forward.
Though.
He was their backup forward. Yeah. He was free also, or very cheap, one or the other.
Yeah.
But they have brand new fullbacks next season. If Andy Robertson goes to Atletico Madrid, so that'll be interesting with Frimpong and Kirkus, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
The Bournemouth boy.
You think they'd be mad to sell Andy Robertson? No.
I don't know. Well,
I'd have one more season of Andy Robertson.
Is he one of those Peter O'Mahony types who's just great around, is like great influence on the surroundings, been there a long time, obviously knows the league inside out, but if you talk again to Liverpool supporters, they would say that Robertson's lost a yard or two over the last couple of years, primarily from probably playing too much ball because they never really had a good backup or good enough backup. I mean, Simicast will do a job for you occasionally, but he was never probably good enough to be first choice left back. So he kind of had the place to himself to a degree and probably played too much and has lost a bit. He probably needs a fresh challenge himself.
Maybe, or maybe he's Seamus Coleman and it's unbelievable to have around the place and make sure that the lads come in.
That's what I mean about the Peter O'Mahony thing. It was like that's the pro of keeping him. But if he wants to go, you're going to have to leave him go. But you're losing, like, to lose Trent and Robertson, that's their two big figures, I'd imagine, in the dressing room. That's the only doubt. But on paper, they're probably improved overall. Squad's actually better now.
With Wirtz, obviously.
Yeah. But those fullbacks, like, we know what Kirkus can do in the Premier League already. And Frimpong, we know he can do the Bundesliga with Leverkusen. And in Europe, as when they got to the Europa League final. You'll never know until they come to the league, but should be fine. So they should be better. And Wirtz is an upgrade in Chiesa.
And we're convinced that
Wirtz will be starting, like. He's not going to be backup to anyone.
Convinced that the manager is like world class. The coaching job that they did and improving the midfield.
I was saying throughout last season, I was like, wait till they go on a bad run, now we'll see the true end of slap. They just never did.
Well, except at the end when they were in Ibiza.
Yeah, but he just laughed at that. Like, he was. Yeah. But yeah, you can only go by what you see so far, and he's absolutely the real deal. But it would be interesting to see second season onwards what happens with them.
It will. And City probably are going to be better.
I know, and he constantly surprises me, Pep Guardiola, in the regeneration. I've thought for the last 5 years that Pep Guardiola is going to leave any time now, that he's going to get bored of the whole thing. He's been there, like, it's just 10 season, I think.
10 years, anyway.
But they've replenished, like, the players they brought in. Even since January, they've brought in loads of players.
Well, it's like half a billion, essentially, since almost whatever that Munster winner of the Euro Millions.
Yeah.
It's been more than that.
It's a big old luxury, like they have as well. Like, you spend 100 million on Jack Grealish and then just decide you don't want him anymore. It doesn't really seem to impugn you.
We've been doing this slide about, I'll name a player, where do you think he'll go, or can he stay this summer as well? What would you do with Jack Grealish? Would you take him back?
I think, did you hear Pep yesterday in the press conference? He was asked about Jack. He was like, Jack needs to play more minutes. He needs to be able to, you know, play games back to back. He needs to have that hunger again. I'm like, if you're trying to sell the player publicly to other clubs and you're saying...
Oh, he's not bothered, I'd say, then, if that's the crack.
You're saying, this guy's lost all his appetite for the hard work that made him great in the first place.
Yeah.
I would not sign that player back.
I mean, I wonder how much do they need to recoup that 100 million. They'll accept the fact that they won't. They might get half of it, but they'll probably get... What would you get for Grealish? Maybe 30.
Ah, jeez, no.
Sorry,
you get way more than that.
Do you think so?
100%. What he's worth to your club? in terms of all the things around it, market and commercial value. He's massively important.
Grealish?
100%.
To another Premier League club?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh God, I wouldn't. I'd be very disappointed if Villa were to spend 30 million on Grealish. I'd be like, lads, you've got a very limited amount of money, and his salary is going to be what it is at City. And also, is he going to try a leg?
Well, not just that, but
you can't listen to Pep Guardiola talking about it.
Why not?
Pep Guardiola slags off Zlatan Ibrahimovic in whatever 2009, or whatever it was when he comes in. So 9-10, and the guy is still playing nearly 10 years later. It's like the guy, you don't, just because it doesn't work for Pep Guardiola doesn't mean a player can't work.
No, I'm not saying that.
And I don't, I think that's,
I think the Zlatan example is different because Zlatan didn't fit his style of play, whereas Grealish did actually for a period of time totally change his game, fit in with Pep.
That shows a great work ethic.
Won the treble.
That shows an amazing work ethic.
But it seems as if the work ethic has subsequently been questioned, and not just by him, by the England managers since, who are like, ah, we've got better.
I'd be delighted if my United bought him.
That's the heartbreak for Grealish, that he changed his game to fit into Pep. And now Pep doesn't want him.
I wouldn't.
Jack Grealish hasn't played the way he made it as a professional in years. Hasn't played that way.
So you're signing a player.
What version of Grealish are you signing?
I would take him on loan, right? And see if that still exists. Certainly.
What, like Rashford way?
Absolutely, yeah.
But that doesn't prove anything because Pep's talking about doing it consistently, right? Well, a loan spell, you can do it short term to medium term. Get your contract.
If you do it for a full season.
It would never strike me. I mean, it's like obviously Pep knows he sees him every day, but it wouldn't strike me as a lack of motivation. Like, the guy seems to love football. He's just a crestfallen that he can't play. And then when he does play, he has to play this game where he retains possession and doesn't really do an awful lot with it. Like, gets the ball on the left, checks back in, passes it into midfield. That's a job. Remember, like, his marauding runs from deep centrally for Aston Villa.
Yeah.
It's been years since he played like that.
I don't know. Again, I just haven't a clue what's going on with. I'm sure everybody has done their due diligence, even bringing him to the World Cup.
Yeah, but that's. I'd be the opposite way of thinking with you on this in terms of like, so by your metric, in terms of trying to drive up the price, Pep should be up there bigging him up while not playing him. It wouldn't make any sense to be so transparent.
Well, maybe you don't say anything.
You have to explain why you're not bringing him.
We've got a bit of a knock. Other players, you know, deep squad. We've just signed a quarter of a billion's worth of talent in his spot.
People do see through that, though. But I do think that, geez, no more than like how you can have such different perspectives on Rashford. Like, Ruben Amorim couldn't have been more blunt about Marcus Rashford. I mean, whatever they were talking at one point, like, there's no point keeping these guys here for an extra 4 or 5 goals in the season. That it's so toxic that we cannot have him in the building. Whereas you go to Villa and you're adequately happy with him, showing traces of a player. So, like, I don't think there's any great kind of, I wouldn't put much stock in what a current manager who doesn't fancy a current player says about him.
Fair enough.
I don't think it matters.
Fair enough. I don't think that the form has been there.
Yeah, that doesn't matter, but we haven't seen Grealish play in a long time. Yeah, that's the thing. So I don't know what's left of him.
That's like one factor of the pie chart where it's like current manager who did rate him enough to spend 100 million on him is now burning him out, which is not a great sign. I would accept that Pep has burned loads of players out who still seem to have plenty in the tank. None of whom who were first choice have gone on to do great stuff afterwards. Have they? Emerick Laporte.
Julian Alvarez wasn't first choice, but I mean, he was on the cusp of it.
Yeah, and they probably missed him.
Yeah.
And they did sell him for 100 million.
It's a tough one to know. They don't need to let anyone go if they don't want to. No one can force their way out because they're just going to throw so much money at them.
No, it's all the kids who have left Man City who've done brilliantly. That I'd say they regret more.
All
than
his peak players
selling the Zinchenko and the Gabriel Jesus and.
I'm just going through them in my head. Like, all of Fernandinho, company, Sergio Aguero. Aguero went to Barcelona, but then he had to retire because of the heart thing. He scored in the Clásico, though. I have a confession to make.
Go on.
I played my first game of paddle.
Oh.
Yesterday.
Against Jenny?
Yeah.
Against the
country's number one and number two player. They played against me, and I played with a coach.
Right.
In Bushy Park.
Very good.
Which one's paddle now?
What do you mean?
What's the game?
Paddle.
Yeah.
It's like tennis, but you have walls surrounding you and you could use the walls.
Okay.
Ping pong for grown-ups.
There's just a net in the middle.
Net in the middle, yeah. It looks like tennis, but you have you have the surrounds.
Same dimensions, you can like use same size of court.
Smaller, okay. Single size, but you can't play singles, you have to play doubles. And which seems mad when you look at it because it's tiny, but there's no way you could play singles. So it's still one bounce, but you can use the walls to your advantage. But using the walls is so difficult because like with tennis, the whole game's in front of you. But with paddle, it's also behind you. So if a person lobs you, hits the back wall, it's still in play, but then you have to turn around and hit it. But if you hit it and it hits the back wall without bouncing, their point.
Oh,
and same scoring.
Same scoring system as right. That. So
can
I played
you serve
against,
overhand?
No, it has to be under. You have to bounce it and hit it on the way back up, which in itself takes time to get used to. And you have to hit it into the correct side of the court.
Right.
And then the coach was like telling me, like, stop trying to play tennis, play paddle. So stop trying to win a point, make them stay in a point, and eventually they'll make a mistake.
But it's not very aggressive.
Jenny's Ireland's number one. Her playing partner was number two.
Right.
And my coach was a great fella called Gonzalo from Chile.
Oh, yeah.
And you know you're on about Trent learning Spanish. Jenny was conversing away with the guy in Spanish. So there you go, you know. You can just learn to better yourself. But how do we get on? The moral victory was high. Never stopped competing. And I won 2 points.
Oh, right.
One of them was a clean winner.
Out of two sets?
Yeah. One of them was a clean winner. A clean winner.
Was it
against
six
Ireland number one?
And,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She took it easy on you.
With an extremely patient coach. No, they weren't taking it easy at all.
No, I know. That's a,
which was...
I'd say Jenny doesn't take it easy on anybody.
Which was great. Now, they would say every so often, they'd be like, I will replay that point, Louis.
Are you doing much running?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. There, yeah. I asked to stop, like. I was gassed. I was actually roasting yesterday. So it transpired. That didn't help. But
you're indoor?
No, it's outdoor. It's outdoor.
So it's just outdoor, but big walls.
Yeah.
What are the walls made of?
I don't know the actual material. It looks like glass.
Metal.
No, it's glass. Like it's transparent glass.
Okay. Plastic.
Yeah, plastic, okay. I guess. Okay. No, it looks... It doesn't really look like anything, right? Like it's a half the size of a tennis court, probably. But you're surrounded by what? It looks like an astro. It looks like a five-a-side astro, basically. But you have so much ground to cover. And the ball is just never... The ball is always in.
Yeah, okay.
It's taken off. I was asking Gonzalo, is this your full-time job? And he was like, oh, yeah. It was like, people book these out months in advance. Paddle has taken over the country.
Yeah.
But 3 years in the waiting. Played yesterday. There is footage.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Footage is on the way. But... I don't think my winner was caught on camera. And I'm absolutely devastated. We all celebrated the winner. It was great.
And is that a bit patronising that your opponents are celebrating your winner?
No, by that stage I was so happy. This is well into it, like.
And are you dead now?
Yeah.
Dead. Where?
But you see legs, like calves particularly. Because you have to get down really low. So.
Why?
Gonzalo was saying to me, it's like, oh, you have to get down way lower when you're receiving serve because the ball doesn't, oh, that's the other thing. The ball doesn't bounce that high at all. It looks like a tennis ball, but it's softer. And you have the actual racket is half the size of a tennis racket. So you're all over the shop, really, with your coordination if you're playing tennis. But you have to get right down on your knees, basically. Almost on your knees. And then you have to hit it just as it's bouncing. You have to get it back. If you wait at all, the opponent, and like you're playing against these two opponents, so they're going to have you.
There. And would you not have played against somebody...
No, it was the best way to learn.
Well, I don't know if it is.
And Gonzalo was like, do you want to be trained or do you want to play a game? And I was like, I'll play a game.
Get the balls out, Gonzalo.
But they had to be patient. Like.
Yeah. Very good. Most enjoyable. Have you a quiz question for us today?
I do, yeah. Welcome to the latest episode of Who Gets It First?
Who Gets It First?
Welcome back. I have to stall here.
Ronnie Rosenthal.
Get back in. No, very close though. So yeah, you're right though. It's the same idea again. You have to guess the player by the clubs I name. This player started with Leeds United.
Nick Barnby.
Mm-mm.
Dennis Irwin.
No. The Allard is
like just 41. He's signing for Brighton. Still playing for Brighton.
James Milner.
No.
Aaron Lennon.
No. This is quite tough actually, this one. I heard this name said in the office
Mark
yesterday
Faduka.
And I hadn't heard it in years.
Darren Huckerby.
No. Okay, I didn't start.
Leeds United. From Leeds United he went.
John Jones.
Aston Villa.
Tony Dorigo.
Not James Milner.
From Leeds to Villa.
Oh, Earl Barrett. God. No.
When I said I haven't heard the player's name in years, it doesn't mean the player's old.
Right.
From Aston Villa, he went back on loan to Leeds, but this is probably more prominent. This is where you might get it. From Aston Villa, he went permanently to Manchester City. Leeds United, Aston Villa.
I think someone's got
Robin
it.
Delph.
Very, very good.
That's too random. I'm not thinking of Fabian
very
Delph.
Good. Fabian well, it wasn't too random for YouTube, you know. YouTube were all over. Someone got it right and then deleted their answer. Well, Brian O'Dwyer, you got it. Fabian Delph. Dermot Keenan's in there too. Congrats.
Colm O'Corkra. Good man yourself.
He has 20 caps for England, Fabian Delph.
Yeah. So it's more about them.
2014 to 19. I heard his name said in the office yesterday. I think I did anyway. And I had another name, but I said I'd throw that in actually. He's only 35.
Well, look.
He retired.
He went to City.
3 years ago.
Went to City, made a fortune.
Life is great. Manuel Pellegrini signed him, but he was there when Pep was manager as well.
But he didn't. Wasn't he one of those players who never played a game?
I think he'd go like a whole season. He might get a League Cup game.
A lot of those players, didn't they?
Yeah, around that time. They had a lot of English midfielders like Michael Johnson, who was hanging around for a while as well. For different reasons, it didn't work out for all these lads. And then Everton was his last hurrah under Ronald Koeman.
And then wasn't very good when he got
captain.
There. Oh, was he?
Yeah, I think he was captain. Right. I think they signed that. That was a good signing for Everton at the time. I think it was seen as that. Yeah. But he went down. But he didn't have many clubs. He didn't have a long career. Retired at 32. Fabian Delph. He was once prominent as a young English midfielder with hope when he was at Leeds. I think it was a good sign for Villa.
On your most recent edition of Off the Ball, we had this.
What do you make of the hooter in the men's game compared to the women's game?
Personally, it's probably just because that's all we've ever experienced. It's a lot nicer knowing exactly when the game is going to end compared to when you're playing off a ref and you're waiting for the ref to blow the whistle.
And this.
If you win 25 matches out of 28 and you win one of two trophies that are offered and you make the semi-finals, admittedly, of the tournament you prefer to win, and your season ticket sales go up to 15,000 and you're replacing one brilliant All Black with another brilliant All Black, you're the bulk suppliers to Lions with 12 players. You can't call that season a failure. This is getting to be ridiculous.